One of the things that I've been thinking about a lot lately as a pastor is how to help you to live out your faith. I think probably we all get that it's important for us to live out our faith, but it's easy for us to think of faith in terms of what we do on a Sunday morning for a couple hours. The picture of faith, though, that the Bible presents for us is much more all-encompassing, more comprehensive, more intimate and everyday than just what we do here in these moments. And I would love for you to be able to live in the fullness of life and faith lived out with God. To help with that, I would like to spend the next little while looking with you at the book of 1 Thessalonians, which is a portion of scripture that I think helps us to think about real life faith, life lived out in the everyday details of faith. I will acknowledge that 1 Thessalonians is not one of the more popular books or the most familiar books. Have you ever heard anybody preach on 1 Thessalonians before? I can't think of anybody. But we're going to do it, because I'll tell you what, every time I read this book devotionally, I think, I can't wait to share this with people at Langford, because it is so rich and meaningful in terms of, you know, how we live out our lives of faith, how we interact together as a church, what happens when our loved ones die, what it's going to be like when Jesus comes again. This is all a part of this letter that Paul writes to the Thessalonian church that we met last week. So I'm pretty excited to dig into it with you in the next little while. There is I think at the back, probably, there is a handout. Did it get back there, Janet? Yeah. That has the outline of what we're looking at in the next little while. Keep it, put it in your Bible, read the verses before. This picture is supposed to look like, you know on like airports, when it has the arrivals and departures and the letters would flip over or the numbers would flip over? That's what that's supposed to be, but the printer didn't really do it justice. You know, technology. Okay, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Pro tip, if you're looking for it in your Bible, it is after the more popular letters, Romans, Galatians, Corinthians, Philippians. But it's at the beginning of a set of T's. Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. So there's your T for Titus, for Thessalonians. And there you are. So verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians opens like this: Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be to you. Right away, I think we need to pause and remember the very real circumstances that we talked about last week that led Paul to write to this church in the first place. You know, Acts 17 tells us that Paul and this guy Silas, who gets name-dropped here at the beginning, Paul and Silas arrived in Thessalonica, and they began in the synagogue and worked outwards to tell people about this risen, crucified and risen Savior, Jesus, and a number of people believed them, and they began to be a church together. And what a church it was. Again, if you think back to last week, there are some Gentile people there. There are Jewish people within this church. There are women of influence there. There are socially high-class people, low-class people. There's probably slaves and masters sitting side by side in the Thessalonian churches. There's a guy named Jason there. I mean, they probably met at his house. There's another guy whose name is Aristarchus. We can call him Ricky. There's another guy named Secundus. Like I said, the people receiving this, there's probably a Thessalonian Bert who has a new joke for everybody every time they meet. A Thessalonian Val, who is just the sweetest lady you've ever met. They had no building. They had no Sunday school. They had no pews. They had no property. But they had Jesus, and they had each other, and that was enough. And a good thing, too, because when the authorities caught wind of their proclaiming this Lord Jesus, who was higher even than Caesar, they put the clamp down on them. The religious elite started to stir up a mob. They blamed the church for this trouble, and Jason had to put up cash as a promise of good behavior, and Paul and Silas had to go on to the next town to share the gospel there. Think about, though, what that meant for the people who were left in Thessalonica, right? What it meant for Jason and Ricky and Secundus and Thessalonian Bert and Thessalonian Val. These are brand new Christians. They're like 2 months old in their faith. Think about how you were 2 months after you truly decided to follow Jesus with all your heart. I was not a mature believer at that point in time. These people are like babies in the faith, and so I can imagine that they have so much to learn. They're probably thinking, like, is God still in control after our teachers who told us about him got kicked out of town? Are we still faithfully following God the way that he deserves? How can we walk with this God who has freely saved us? I'm sure that they were not the only ones thinking about it. Paul was thinking about those things too. And so he decided to reach out to the Thessalonians again to build them up in their faith. Now, he didn't want to stir up trouble for them. And so what he did was he took his friend, his protege, Timothy. They're probably in Corinth at this point. Sent Timothy to the Thessalonica. Timothy hung out there for a while. Came back, gave a report to Paul on how things were going. And then went back again with what you are holding in your Bible right now. This is the letter that Paul gave to Timothy to go back to the Thessalonian church. And he says, from Paul and Silas and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. Every time we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. Can you imagine what an impression that must have made on those brand new believers? They were newborns in the faith, and yet here, Paul himself, the like super apostle, was there writing to them and saying, you know what? God has not given up on you. I have not given up on you. I remember you in what's going on in your lives, and I'm going to continue to support you. He says, you are in God. You cannot be taken from him, and so I give thanks for you. And the rest of chapter 4, I think, outlines why he gives thanks every time he prays. And Paul lays out for us, I think, 4 reasons that he gives thanks for the Thessalonians. And they all have to do with faith. If you like writing things down, you can write, this is our outline. First, Paul thanks God for the Thessalonians because they have productive faith. He thanks God because they have spiritually empowered faith. He thanks them because they have exemplary faith, and then he thanks God because they have saving faith. Productive faith, spiritually empowered faith, exemplary faith, saving faith. Let's look at those one at a time. So first, the Thessalonians have productive faith. You can see that in verse 3. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know Paul, you'll know that this triad of ideas, faith, hope, and love, is very important to him. Like half a dozen times in the New Testament, he talks about faith, hope, and love, faith, hope, and love. It's like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. For Paul, it's all about faith, hope, and love. He actually repeats it again at the end of this Thessalonian letter. They are important ideas to Paul, but not only are they important ideas, they are things to live out, things to apply incarnate. The presence of faith, the experience of faith, hope, and love motivates these believers and Paul and us to do things in the world. And you can see that, how that worked in the Thessalonian church. The Thessalonian Christians had faith. that faith in Jesus prompted them to do good things because of their faith. We're going to hear in a little bit that they turned from idols to serve the living God. One of their works of faith, one of the works inspired by faith was to turn and serve God. The Thessalonian Christians had experienced God's love, and the experience of his love motivated them to love one another, right? We love because he first loved us. The Thessalonian Christians had hope in the Lord Jesus, and that hope prompted them to stand firm and to stay faithful and to continue to follow Jesus when everything seemed hard. In a couple of verses, I'm going to kind of gloss over this point, but Paul points out and says, listen, you have been through deep affliction because of your faith in Jesus, and yet you stand strong. They have hope, and so they have stood firm. These people literally put their faith into action. They expressed their faith in concrete ways. They had productive faith. They knew what God had done and were eager to respond to it. That's why I love missions like Friendship House, like the Raw Carrot. Like, why not? That's why I really appreciate when you guys put together goodie bags to go to our homebound folks and to take meals to people who are having a hard time. You know, I don't think that you're doing that just because it's a nice thing to do. I think you're doing that as an expression of faith and gratitude for what God has done. I remember listening to the lady from the Raw Carrot one day here. They were saying, you know, through church, they sat in the pews and listened to their pastor talking, and they kept thinking, well, how can we put this into action? How can we put this into action? And so their response was to say, let's create this business, the Raw Carrot, that can hire people on Ontario Disability who can make soup so that we can support them in making a good living, or at least supporting what they have. Friendship House gets it. Right? Their motto is God's love in action. They labor because God loved them first. Paul gives thanks for the Thessalonians' productive faith. He invites us to have productive faith too. So they have productive faith. They also had spiritually empowered faith. That's verse 4. You know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. This is such an important insight because it really explains the difference between casual faith and actual faith. You know, for years, I had casual faith. I went to church. I kind of listened. I didn't take it seriously. I had a vague sense of God. I didn't read the Bible seriously. I didn't pray seriously. The words of the gospel were just words to me. They had no more power than the Saturday paper. We always got the London Free Press. Bible, London Free Press, no words. But then, later on in life, I heard those words again, and at that point, it was like arrows fired straight from the bow of a master divine archer coming straight from my heart to hit me with power and with conviction. All of a sudden, these words were not just words. They were a revelation of who I was, who God is, his love for me, my sin, his willingness to redeem me and restore me. I could see all of a sudden the Bible applies to me. These things are about me. You know what the difference was? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit coming, making Jesus real to me, making sin real to me, making Jesus' sacrifice real to me, enabling me to walk with him every day. And that happened in Thessalonica too. You know, Paul here is probably thinking back to those three Sabbaths in Thessalonica, where he was teaching them from the Old Testament, and he's probably sitting there realizing, oh boy, the Holy Spirit is at work in their hearts. He is doing something good. He knew that God was at work in them because they were receiving these words, not simply as, you know, theoretical, philosophical ideas, but as like truth that hit home and grabbed their hearts so you couldn't shake. Right? This is not a religious high that would fade away after a few days. People were being changed from the inside out because God was working on them from the inside out. Their faith was not merely a change of mind, but God changing hearts. They had spiritually empowered faith. And this, I think, is one of my deepest prayers for our church. For a congregation like this that has deep family ties and long-standing traditions, it can be easy for a church like us to act on a strictly human basis, just to sort of go through the motions of Bible stuff on a Sunday morning. I pray every week that as my words come to you, they would not just be words. But like literally, this is the imagery in my heart that I would like throw paper airplanes out to you and the Holy Spirit would grab them in midair and deliver them right into your heart the way that you need to hear them in those moments. I pray that God would speak into your life and move you to greater faithfulness and greater fulfillment. Man, I pray that God would bring people who have had casual faith for years and years into our congregation and all of a sudden they sense, wow, there is something supernatural, something greater than can be naturally explained going on here. And that's the Holy Spirit enabling them to work. Paul gives thanks that that happened in Thessalonica, and he invites us into that too, to have spiritually empowered faith. He gives thanks for their productive faith, for their spiritually empowered faith. He also thanks God for their exemplary faith. Look at verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. That's what I was referring to earlier. They had hope, therefore they had endurance in the face of this significant suffering. My main point here, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, and so you became a model to all of the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, which is now essentially Greece. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith has become known everywhere. Their faith became exemplary. This is kind of crazy to think about, but just think about that first Thessalonian church. When they became a Christian, who did they look to? They didn't know what a Christian looked like. There weren't any before them. And so they looked to Paul, they looked to Silas, they looked to Timothy, they looked to Jesus. And they said, okay, let's imitate them. Let's walk the way that they did. They took the shape of their leaders' lives and Jesus himself and imitated them. Verse 6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. And that, when the Thessalonian church began to imitate Paul and Jesus, they became in themselves examples for other believers in that geographical region to imitate themselves. Their faith became exemplary in the sense that their faith became an example that others could follow. Now again, this is really important for a church like ours. Do you realize that each of you, each of us, is setting an example of what faith looks like for the next generation? Right? Each one of you, Ben and Anna and Cohen and Finley and Hannah and Emma and I mean Jody and Brooke for that matter, they are all looking to you going, what's a Christian look like? You're the examples that they are seeing. For better or for worse, they are going to follow in our footsteps of what a Christian looks like. Let's make our faith exemplary. Walking like Paul imitating Jesus in our own lives? Let's follow the lead of the Holy Spirit so closely that people are going to start writing letters to the editor of the Brantford Expositor going, what are they putting in the water in Langford? Because those people really seem to love Jesus and like act like it. How can I get in on that? They had exemplary faith. They had productive faith. They had spiritually empowered faith. And verse 8, they had transformative faith. Verse 8, the Lord's message ran out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about you, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave for us. So, I mean, that's cool. The word of what happens when Paul and Silas come to your town is spreading ahead. They're becoming known because of the change that happened in the lives of the Thessalonians. But this is key. This is what they told us when we arrived in that town. They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. As the Big C evangelical church, we have a lot of ways to talk about becoming a follower of Jesus. Biblically, we talk about believing in Jesus. We talk about denying yourself, taking up your cross and following him. On a popular level, we talk about coming to faith, inviting Jesus into your heart, saying the sinner's prayer, being born again. Frankly, I think this passage needs to be among that list. Because look at how Paul describes coming to faith in Jesus. You turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven who rescues us from wrath. Without God, we tend to worship idols. Right? We all worship something. And if we're not worshiping God, then it's idols. You know, for some in Thessalonica, it would have been like Zeus and Aphrodite and literal wooden or bronze statues. For some of the Jewish people who were there, it was probably law itself as something that could save you. That was an idol to them, right? Their self-sufficiency, their pride became, their self-righteousness became an idol to them. For us, it's probably self-sufficiency. This sense that I don't need God. I'm okay on my own. What happens when we do that, though, is that we make ourselves into idols. We say, God, I'm more important than you. and that makes us idol worshipers, and idol worshipers face the wrath of God. That's a hard reality that the Bible teaches, but it's true. When we turn from God to worship created things, like us, we face the wrath of a God who graciously created us. You can't commit treason and then just think you can waltz in the front door like nothing's wrong. But the wonder of the gospel is that the Creator himself came to see that our sin was paid for, to make sure that justice was done. In the person of his Son Jesus, God came and he redeemed us. He redeemed us from that idol worship, from that putting ourselves at the center of our lives and religious experience. Jesus died in our place and then rose again so that we would be forgiven and transfer our allegiance from those idols, whatever they are, to God himself. That's transformative faith. So I know a couple of you, or a few of you already noticed, there's a new car in the parking lot back there. I got a new car in the last couple of weeks. everybody's gonna go, which one is it? I have to admit that when I traded in my old car, handing over the keys was an oddly nostalgic and sad kind of moment. I loved that car. I drove that car for like 15 years. I carried my newborn children around in that car, even in a car seat. I spent so much time in that car. It was important to me. But in buying a car, I'm committing to a new car. And so I needed to give up my allegiance to that one and come over to this new one. It couldn't be any other way. That's what faith is like. We give up that allegiance to the old way of living, to living for self, in order to live for God. Paul gives thanks for the way that the people of Thessalonica were transformed in their faith. And he invites us to have that same transformative faith. So the Thessalonians' faith was productive, spiritually empowered, it was exemplary, it was transformative. God invites us to have that kind of faith too. Okay, let me pull this all into one big idea, and then I'm going to pause. I'm going to stop, actually, so that you don't have to keep listening to Gravel Graham. If I were to put all this into a big idea, I would say this. Make like a Thessalonian and put your faith into action. Be like a Thessalonian and put your faith into action. Be like a Thessalonian. Right? In Paul's words, become imitators of them. Live with that same kind of productive, spiritually empowered, transformative faith. You know, the advertisement used to say, like, be like Mike, right? Be like Michael Jordan, drink Gatorade. Be like a Thessalonian and have that kind of faith that is lived out. And we see that. They had faith. They had true, spiritually empowered faith. They had transformative faith. And it changed them from the inside out. So be like them in having that kind of faith, but also be like them in putting it into action. Think about the example that you are setting for others within the church. Are you showing our next generation what real, true, exemplary, productive faith looks like? Be like a Thessalonian and put your faith into action. Let's pray together. Jesus, we are grateful that you have rescued us from the coming wrath, as Paul says. But not only that, you've rescued us from wrath and made us into the children of God. like this is the big picture of the Bible. You created us out of love and selflessness. and we just kind of loved ourselves and did selfish things. And that deserved wrath. And yet at the same time, that love that you have for us was so great that you gave your one and only Son so that whoever would believe in you would not perish in wrath, but have eternal life. Jesus, thank you for delivering us from wrath and bringing us into a new family, a new place of belonging, a new place in the world as people of God. I pray that you will help us to live like that. I pray that each and every one of us would hear from you so that the gospel, so that the words of the Bible are not simply words, but they are truths that grip our hearts and prompt us to want to do something about it. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will stir in us to have a hunger for you. I pray that you will transform us from living for ourselves to live for you. I pray for the next generation of believers here, Lord, for our kids, the kids that are going to come after. God, I pray that us grown-ups would live such full lives of Christian faith that this next generation would go, wow, why would anybody want to live anything other than that? Lord, may we be exemplary in our faith too. Help us to imitate you, Jesus, to live like you did, to love others the way that you did. Lord, may we walk with you every day and sense your power at work in our lives every moment. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.